community. Man 7 Mitchell in the building. You guys are now rocking with the best. This is the Best of 7 Sports Talk, man, your favorite NBA podcast. Joining me tonight from Sports to the Wire, good friend of mine, your friend, my friend, the homie, Rasheed White is in the building. Rasheed, what's popping, gang?
What's good? What's good, man? My 7 told me he had to get me on, man. He was like, I was talking some wild, reckless-ish, man. Wild, reckless-ish on my show, man. So he had
terrible
to call me out on it.
So terrible, it's going to be a man.
Good debate, really good show today over here, man.
This is absolutely going to be a classic.
Let's get into it, man.
This
set
is definitely
going
to be a classic tonight, man. Absolutely, man. I had to bring Rasheed White on here, man, as always, because, you know, he's an avid Brooklyn fan, a unique NBA analyst. I love his takes. Make sure y'all go check out Sports to the Wire on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel as well. But my man Rasheed White, even though he's a Brooklyn Net fan, you went at Kyrie crazy this week. And I had to stop everything that I was doing and invite my brother on the show so he can really have a conversation with me, because the disrespect I can't really allow. If I'm not going to let Josiah and Sean Marks disrespect Kyrie, I can't let my own man Rasheed White do it. So we got a dope show tonight, y'all.
Yo, let me tell you something, man. Nobody's been a bigger Kyrie supporter than me, man. You know what I'm saying? Well, except for game 3 in the Milwaukee Bucks series, when they lost like 86-83, and Kyrie didn't take any shots in 8 minutes and 39 seconds. I went on my show and I started losing it. But other than that, nobody's been a bigger supporter than myself, than Kyrie Irving, man. I mean, I've been through him calling on radio shows and NBA radio, defending him.
You've been on here. Nobody you've been has, on this platform. You've been on this platform before defending Kyrie Irving, and that's what surprised me, because you also turned your back on Kevin Durant when we had that MVP conversation. You turned your back on Kevin Durant, so you're surprising me, Rasheed. I'm gonna keep
I gotta go look on that. Yeah.
You know, before he got injured, I had
look
KD
back at that show and see what the hell I said about.
Yeah, KD. Man, you was bugged out. All right, so
because of yeah, because the way Dallas team is actually built, if you take Luka off, okay, I remember that. I didn't turn my back on him. I'm just being real, you know. It's just, if you take Luka off of that Dallas Mavericks team, it's a lottery team. So MVP meaning like, hey, who's more valuable? Not who's better, but who's more valuable? You know, if that key player is actually missing off of that team. Yeah.
Did you see that 40 piece that Joel Embiid put up on Joker the other night? Last night, I think.
I heard. I seen it, man. He better do it when it really counts, though, in the playoffs, though, man. You know?
Who?
Yeah, absolutely, man. But let's get back to Kyrie Irving. So, yeah.
Wait, man. We're going to get into Kyrie Irving in a second. Who needs to make sure they do it in the playoffs? Are you talking about Joel or are you talking about Joker? All right.
No, Joel Embiid, man. Joel Embiid, you know? And especially, like, if you look at the way the team is constructed, you know, you have Harden, Tyrese Maxey, and then Joel Embiid is going to be a serious liability when it comes to playing perimeter defense, you know, because this is a guard-driven league here, man. And then the guys who can really defend, like PJ Tucker, they don't really give you any type of offense, you know. So we're going to actually see when it comes to that playoffs. They're a big, big, big question mark right now. Big question mark.
So the Joker has been proving things in the playoffs. You talk about Joel needs to make sure he do it when it count. What the hell has Nikola Jokic been doing?
Not just Joel. I want to see the Philadelphia. I want to see James Harden. They have a lot to prove. And I want to see if Joel Embiid can actually take this team over the hump, man. You know?
You don't want to see James Harden be successful.
Last year it was Ben. Oh, I do, man. I do.
No, you don't, man. Y'all got rid of James Harden. Come on,
When Joel Embiid was out, I praised James Harden because he led that team to like a 7-4 record without Joel Embiid. And this is where I got on Kyrie Irving at, man, you know, because I'm looking at a lot of these players. But Golden State went 6-5 without Steph Curry. So, I mean, I gotta look at the assistant, man. I'm just real, man. I gotta be honest, you know. Yeah, the whole thing with James Harden with the Nets was like he wanted like I think 5 years, 252. Brooklyn only wanted to give him 3 years, 161. So right after that, he started throwing a little hissy fit, you know. After that, he didn't get his money. You know, that's that. I mean, that's what it really boiled down to. Or maybe, you know, it could have been Kyrie Irving.
Wow. Here we go. So let me ask you this, Rasheed White, because I went to your YouTube channel, right? And I'm looking at the total disrespect that you've shown Kyrie this week. Starting with a video titled, "Is Kyrie Irving Holding Ben Simmons Back?" Now, when I read the title of that video, I was blown away. I said, wait a minute. This man, Rasheed White, has totally outdone himself with this type of question. Before I even clicked on the video, then a day later, you really outdid yourself with a back-to-back video titled, "Is the Brooklyn Nets Kyrie Irving Playing for a Contract and Not a Championship?" What's the deal with your
disrespect? Is he playing for a contract or is he playing for a championship, man? It was a cool thumbnail, right? You like the thumbnail on that?
I loved it. But I mean, Rasheed.
All right, let's be serious. I'm watching the Brooklyn Nets. They lost without Kevin Durant. I'm looking at, I'm a fan. I love the high isolation stuff. You know, I love that stuff, like the one-on-one, you know. But Kyrie Irving was not playing system basketball. He was playing for a contract. He wasn't playing for a championship, you know. So he's like, they'll get him the ball. You know, Ben Simmons will bring the ball down. They get the ball to Kyrie. Kyrie's chucking the ball up at 18 seconds on the shot clock. They're not using both sides of the floor.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm just kind of confused on who else is going to shoot the damn ball because Ben Simmons ain't going to do it.
No. You had T.J. Warren out there. He's not getting any touches. Seth Curry wasn't getting any touches. Ben Simmons is not getting any touches. And I keep saying this. Like, it's the same thing when I say with Westbrook. You know, like, if you're going to play Westbrook and LeBron together, being that Westbrook is the poorest shooter, LeBron needs to play more off the ball at times, you know, and Westbrook needs to play on the ball. Because you can't, what the problem is they load up on Kyrie, and then now he has to toss the ball. You say, hey, Ben Simmons, shoot it. Well, it's not a jump shooter, you know? So Ben Simmons needs to be controlling that basketball. He knows when to release the basketball. The ball doesn't, the ball doesn't stick. It moves east-west. You know, like, you start playing north-south basketball, man, it's really, really easy to defend that type of – and look what they did against the Knicks. Everything I said in those two videos that Kyrie Irving did that he actually was doing, he did the complete opposite. He actually used his team to actually win. Even when they were up by 5 points, I seen Kyrie Irving actually making the extra pass. He was actually trusting his teammates. I was proud of him. I'm like, thank you, finally, man.
Wait a
minute. Because
maybe I watched I gotta get another TV. Did Kyrie Irving not drop like 21 points in the fourth quarter in like the last final 9 minutes to get them to win over New York?
Yeah, but it was like, you know, they were moving the basketball, man. You know, everybody touched the ball. Because I don't know if you played basketball, Seven. Did you ever play before?
I played basketball in high school. I played basketball in college.
All right, so what happens? All right, so I love talking to people that actually played. You playing a 3-on-3, a 4-on-4. What happens when you don't touch the basketball? You got a guy that's going nuts. Like, this just won't pass. He takes bad shots. You'll be like, ah, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? You're just mentally not really into it. You know, when the ball's popping, everybody's touching it, then you're engaged, though. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, Kyrie Irving, I was just like, hey, man, this dude is taking, like, it's 18 seconds on the shot clock. Move the ball around, man. You know, then he's going 1-on-3. This guy's like wide open, man. He's not passing. He's going like he's looking to get his points, man. Like, you know, come on, man. Like, you know, share the basketball. And then that next game, he was actually doing that.
You are insane, my brother. There's no way in hell I'm going to sit up here and let you blame Kyrie for being the hero. If it wasn't for Kyrie, Brooklyn would not have got that win. Where's your man Ben Simmons at?
I'm talking about you, too. You only focusing on that one game. I'm talking about the other six games.
You don't want me to get started on all the games.
That was the best. Listen, with the Brooklyn Nets, you would see, like, when Kevin Durant was actually playing, you had Ben Simmons, KD, Kyrie. These guys were getting, like, as a team, they were getting, like, 30, 35 assists. Between 28 and 36 assists as a team. When KD went down, that's when all three on the court. You know, it was like, 18 assists, 19 assists. Now, during the Knicks, they had, I believe, 36 assists as a team. So that's what I actually want to see. The ball needs to move east-west, man.
I'm sorry. Not north-south. Kevin Durant is not known. Kevin Durant is not known for assists. I'm not letting you get away with that. You talking about assists?
Yeah, he could pass. What about the points? What are you talking about?
What about the points? What about Ben Simmons? What about Ben Simmons' lack of production offensively since KD went down?
They're not, listen, they're not running the offense through him, man. They're just
why is that?
Yeah, they're not running the offense through him.
Why is that? But why is that?
You gotta ask the coach, man. I mean, it's been a Kyrie show.
We watched it. Has.
That's what I'm saying. It's been a Kyrie show.
Your man is scared.
No, he's not.
He's robbing Brooklyn.
He's not scared. I mean, he's not touching the basketball. I watch every game. I mean, Ben Simmons would bring the ball up. He would get the ball to Kyrie Irving. And then Kyrie Irving just starts going and doing what he's doing. He makes one pass, you know, maybe to like dump it off to Nick Claxton. And then Claxton scores. Or if he misses, then they have to get back on defense.
Let me ask you a question, Rasheed Wright. Let me ask you, Rasheed Wright, because this is ridiculous. Your Brooklyn Nets right now are in fourth place, right? They are 30-19 on the season. The Cavaliers are right behind them, and Cleveland won tonight. Are you okay with your squad being in fourth place right now, possibly in the fifth place, knowing that when KD was here, they was in second place, damn near on a 12-game winning streak? Who's the blame for this demise as of late?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we knew there was going to be an adjustment. And like I said, I was just watching this thing. I said, let me just really watch because it's easy to watch Kyrie Irving and just fall in love with the moves, with the handles and the creative finishes. And I'm like, man. But then when you really, really start like studying and analyzing his game, I'm like, yo, Kyrie, man. You know, you got guys that are wide open, you know, and then plus, you know, there's a propensity for injury with him, man. Like he got hurt a lot doing a lot of those circus acrobatic, you know. I don't want to see that right now from Kyrie. Like,
Kyrie is the only reason why you're winning games.
In the playoffs. They lost a lot of games, man. They lost a lot of games
that y'all won.
You know what I'm saying? They lost a lot of games.
That's because of Ben Simmons.
I'm watching it, man. I'm telling you, man. I'm a student of the game, man. I've been watching this game for a long time.
You may be a student of the game, man.
I'm telling you, man. Ben Simmons,
You stayed in that classroom too long. You need to go outside, have lunch, go do some PE, go have a break. You studying too much because just clearly. You're missing the game right in front of you. Ben Simmons' lack of offensive production since Kevin Durant went down.
Well, listen, he's dealing with a knee injury. Ben Simmons is going to be out tomorrow. Not playing tomorrow.
No, I know this, but you know? We got excuse after excuse after excuse.
It's a lower – I had lower extremity. Like I said on my show, I'm going to give Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to give all these guys the benefit of the doubt when it comes to lower extremity injuries like knees, ankles, lower backs, you know, because like I said, you have a knee soreness, you know, that can easily turn into like an ACL, MCL type tears, meniscus type tears. So you got to be very, very careful. You know, Ben Simmons is guarding the best players and he has to take the toughest defensive assignments. Like let's say if the Brooklyn Nets and Cleveland Cavaliers match up in the playoffs, I mean, Ben Simmons has to guard Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell, man. You know what I'm saying? Those are really, really tough defensive assignments right there, man. Not easy to guard them when you can't hand check.
All right, you just keep bypassing the offense of Ben Simmons. You just keep dancing around that. But that's cool. because in the playoffs you would have Kevin Durant, so that wouldn't be needed. All right, cool.
Yeah, I mean they can mix up. I mean, like I said, they can, there's a lot of different things they can do, like him setting the screens that actually works. So that's the type of style of basketball I play. I come up, set the screens. Most people don't fight over screens. They go under screens, and you got KD and Kyrie. They can actually, you know, get wide open 3-point shooters, you know, or you can actually get the ball to Ben Simmons. He can push the floor. He can get downhill quick, and then they're going to have to collapse on him, and then he can kick it out to wide open 3-point shooters of KD and Kyrie, Joe Harris, and all these guys. But it's important to establish the role players. You know, role players actually, you know, are really, really critical in terms of actually winning you games, like Steve Kerr hitting big shots, Paxton.
How can you sit here and talk about role players need to be established when one of your top three is not established? It starts from the top.
He's talking about Joe Harris. He has an injury.
We've had this conversation when he was on the court. Ben Simmons has had multiple 0-point performances this year alone. Are you going to attribute that to injuries?
I mean, like I said, they're not running the offense to him. You know, like I said, when I used to play with my boy Dante.
Wait, Kyrie was suspended. So who was running the floor?
I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe. No. I mean, Ben Simmons had some good games. You know, just like T.J. Warren has some good games and he has some bad games.
With both Kevin Durant and Kyrie on the court, Ben Simmons has had some good games. No, but what I'm saying is how he's been playing this year has been exceptional when those two guys have been on the court. But when one of those guys go down, he is needed to step it up offensively, and he has not done that at all. And you keep giving him a pass.
Like I told you, man, Kyrie has been going bananas, man. He has. You know, like I said, I'm watching it. Ben Simmons brings the ball up the court. He passes to Kyrie. You know, Kyrie starts getting into his moves. He starts getting into his dance, and the ball doesn't go back to Ben. You know, I've been watching all the games, man. I've been watching every net game since 1995. You know, I'm like, man, Kyrie's, and even Brian Scalabrine, man, who actually hated on Kyrie, I'm going to call his show tomorrow morning or Tuesday morning. I'm like, yo, you know what? He's been trashing Kyrie, and I'm like, now he's defending Kyrie, but now I'm the one, I'm like, you know what? You know, Scal, you actually kind of right, man. You know, he's not moving the basketball, but he's asked to play the point guard position, because right now they don't got a backup point guard right now. So he's actually running the point. I'm like, yo, you got to get these other guys involved. The definition of a point guard is to get the other guys involved first and then look for your offense, man. You know, basketball is a team sport. It's not a, you know, individual sport.
Don't talk to me about team sport when your teammate won't shoot a three-pointer. When your teammate is scared.
Doesn't need to shoot threes.
He do. Just like there's Shaquille no Kevin O'Neal. Durant on the court. That's why Brooklyn is losing games.
Why does he need to shoot threes? Ben because Simmons Kevin Durant is not on the court.
You're missing a 30-point average. Ben Simmons
is a 7-foot point guard going against 6'3 guys. Why does he need to shoot?
Because you have a 30-point per game absence. That's why. He's one of the top three.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Listen. If he has a legitimate injury, I'm going to give him a pass. I'm sorry. He has a knee injury, you know?
I'm not mad at the injury, but let's not act like he's been injured all since Kevin Durant's been injured.
No, he had knee injuries. He's coming back from the back surgery. I mean, there's psychological hurdles that you actually have to clear within yourself, man. You got to make sure that you constantly thinking, if I don't want to cut too hard. Like right now, I'm dealing with a sore Achilles, you know? So if I go out there and play, I got to tell myself, no, I got to watch. I can't explode real too hard. I got to, you know, watch. I got to, you know, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of psychological hurdles that you actually have to clear first, you know, and Kawhi's going through the same thing.
I got to take my glasses off of this one. So let me be clear.
You're getting the edumacation right here, man.
I need to be clear on something. Real talk, Rasheed White. So you're telling me that the mental demons that Ben Simmons is dealing with right now are due to injury.
Any player.
Let me finish. You're saying it's due to injuries and not how scared he plays on the basketball court. Because his play showed that he's scared.
He's a pass first point guard.
So is LeBron.
Nah.
Oh my goodness. You talk about pass first. We talk about layups. We talk about layups.
No, I hear you, man. But I mean, you know, there's mental hurdles, psychological hurdles that you actually have to clear first when you're coming from, oh, you're dealing with an injury. You're going to be kind of thinking about that knee. You don't want to push up too strong. We don't know. And like I said, we don't know what he's dealing with because he's not going to, you know, I wouldn't say anything. I'm not going to tell you, hey, man, I'm dealing with an Achilles strain. So that way you can come at me and bust my ass. You know, hell no, I'm not going to say anything. So we don't know.
Dealing with none of this.
We don't know what he's going through.
Ben Simmons is dealing with none of this. He's the 10 man. He's the 10 man of the NBA. He has no heart.
Nah, that's just this media rhetoric, man. That's media rhetoric, man.
Really?
Yes, media rhetoric, man. I mean, like I said, I know people get mad at me. I know.
Did you watch the recent game when he went back to Philly?
Yeah.
How even new players for Philly was punking him, talking shit to him?
Hey, he was in foul trouble. He came in. He scored 10 points in the third quarter, scored 2 in the fourth quarter. He played the whole third quarter, 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. Time for him to come out and get his rest. Brooklyn Nets was actually on a roll. You know, they were hitting threes, playing really good defense. You know, there was no need for Ben Simmons to actually really kind of coming back into the game, though. It's just they were playing really well, you know, and it was a couple of James Harden threes that pretty much sealed the game, you know. But if it wasn't for that, I mean, you know, it's a make or miss league. So I'm, you know, I gotta go revisit that Philadelphia game. I have it, you know, saved here.
When is Kevin Durant scheduled to come back? Do you know?
In a week and a half.
Your guys is in trouble. Y'all going to make the playoffs. Right. Y'all going to make the playoffs. But y'all are in trouble. Because realistically, if KD does not come back in time, y'all might could fall all the way down to like the 7th or 8th seed. When it's all said and done, Cleveland is right on your
Lakers.
Bumper. I'm looking at the opposition in the East. Cleveland is right on your bumper. They only half a game back. Miami is only a couple games Cleveland. Back. And what about Miami? You worry about the Heat? You worry about the Knicks? Y'all still got two more to go with New York.
If they go into like a playoff series, I'm not worried about Cleveland. You know, Cleveland just got way too much size for them, man. You got Ben Simmons, you got KD, you got Nicholas Claxton, you have Evan Mobley. He's not offensively polished just yet. Jared Allen's another one who's not offensively polished yet. You know, you can't say, hey, give the ball to Jared Allen and come take me there when you know. Everything you're trying to run kind of breaks down. And then on the defensive end, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell just way too small. You know, they could just say, hey, Ben Simmons, just, you know, post these little guys up, man. You know, I did the 42-point game between Ben Simmons, you know, with Utah. And you had Ben Simmons posting up Bojan Bogdanović, who's not a, you know, not a small guy. About 6'8", 225 pounds, just posting them up like it's nothing, taking it to Rudy Gobert's chest. As if Rudy Gobert can't stop him, then what makes you think that Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are going to? So
what makes you think Kevin he can Durant. Stop Spider-Man? He can't stop Spider-Man, and he can't offensively do what Spider-Man do. See, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. But you got Ben Simmons that can score more against them than what Donovan. You know what I'm saying? They have too
no
much
way.
Length. You got 3 7 way. Footers there. Off
no
Twitch.
Way. I will bet the rent money. I will bet the rent money. Donovan Mitchell. Now, I'm not even tripping about the whole Utah game.
Size.
I will bet. Yeah, but because of size. But I will bet the rent money any night, even if they locked into each other. Donovan is outscoring Ben Simmons if they got to play each other.
He's gonna outscore him, but it's gonna be tough shots versus Ben Simmons' easy post ups. They're gonna constantly have to send help, you know, on Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. So I'm not really worried about that type of because, like I said, if anything, they can just funnel Donovan Mitchell into Nicholas Claxton, and you see he blocked your boy Joel Embiid. Now you saw how that actually went. You know, so I mean, Nicholas Claxton is a really good rim protector, and Ben Simmons can actually defend the rim, and KD can defend the rim. You got 3 7-footers out there who can switch, and who can protect the rim.
I know what people can do, but that's not what people are doing. That's the story of your Brooklyn
Nets. Doing. That's what they were doing.
When I ain't seen KD Ben was Simmons healthy. Doing.
No, he did a good job on Joel Embiid. He really did. He actually made it really tough for him. He really did a good job on Joel Embiid. Numbers
his last 8 games. Joel is number 2 in the MVP race.
No, I hear you, but that first half, Ben Simmons did a really good job on him. You know, he really did a good job defensively on him.
Your man KD was named an All-Star starter. Are you good with that? Are you surprised that he was named a starter?
Of course. I'm not surprised. This is, listen, man, it's a popularity league at the end of the day, man. It's what the fans want. I know Joel Embiid is mad about that, you know, but it is what it is, man. You know, now be mad if the coaches and the media doesn't put you on. That's something that you can actually get angry about, you know. But if the fans don't like you as much, if they like KD more, if they like LeBron more, you know, or Giannis more, then it is what it is. I don't know what more Joel Embiid can actually do. I don't know if it's antics, he clowns people too much. I don't know what it is with
Joel
Embiid, why people don't even like him though as much.
His immaturity. I've always said that Joel's immaturity is going to come back to bite him.
Like, yeah.
That's always been his biggest problem.
Yeah, basically.
So I don't know, man.
All right. So
that's the 7 sports talk, man. Let's get into the next topic. Rasheed act like he ready to talk about my Lakers, like he really got some shit to say about my Lakers. My guys are playing well. My guys about to break.
How y'all don't close that game, like man? How y'all don't close that game, man? LeBron getting angry. He should know.
How do
better,
we wait
man.
A minute? How do we not close the game? A foul on a game-winning shot is how we didn't
you
close
know the
game.
Referees ain't calling that, man. That the unless
it was clear.
But it wasn't agree. Let's say LeBron got pushed, like it has to be a big time.
We're
problem.
Not doing that BS with my team. You can do that BS with your team. Was
you're
it
getting
a
emotional? Jason, you're getting emotional now, man.
Oh yeah, we were robbed. Do you not understand? Let me say something, Rasheed. 3 or 4 times this year alone, the Lakers have dealt with calls being made, and after the game was over, the official said that the call was wrong. The Lakers have dealt with that 3 or 4 times this season, 2 of which could have decided the game. We're losing standing and traction because of these mistakes, bro. We got to be emotional. That
Lakers
was a clear foul.
All right, but Lakers can't put themselves in that position to beat.
Boston is the top team. Boston is the best team in the league.
All right, so you got the top team on the ropes. You tied it up. You know,
on the road, and we're on the road.
I should have watched that. Something was telling me to watch that game. I'm like, I didn't know it was going to be that good. I'm like,
if LeBron would have drove to the basket and passed it out, y'all would have blamed him, saying y'all can't have it both ways.
If the defense collapsed in on him and he had 2 or 3 guys in the paint, he passes. I got no issues with him making the right basketball play. Now, people in the media actually does, but, you know, if you got a guy that's wide open, you know, then pass it, you know. But, like,
was
in that situation where
– was he foul? Yes or no?
Yes, he was fouled, yeah. But so, they know, like I said, I've been watching the NBA for a long time. The referees will not give you that call. They're not going to do it. I've seen it too many times. It's not the first time.
Why won't they?
Because they don't want to be the one that dictates the game. They let the players play, right? There's fouls happening all the time. You play ball, you hoop, right? Right, 7? You ain't calling every foul. I've been calling every foul. It'll be a fight out there, man.
We are not talking about every foul, Rasheed White. We are literally talking about the game-deciding layup where the referee
Historically, the referees are not going to call that. They don't want to dictate the game like
that's
that.
Not,
they want the
that's not dictating the game. That's doing your job. You're not dictating the game. You're doing your job. Call the foul. Period.
I agree.
Jason Tatum is dictating the game with the foul.
And you're,
it's not a guarantee that LeBron is going to make the free throws, but you got to call it like you see it.
He better make one out of two, you know, at least,
I'm just saying, bro, you asked me a silly question on how the Lakers didn't pull that off. What do you mean? You watched it. Same thing happened in 2018 in game one of the NBA Finals when LeBron went off against Golden State, had 51 points that first game. They were rocking and rolling. What happened at the fourth quarter at the end? J.R. Smith with that big-time blunder. That just destroyed the momentum. They went right in overtime, and they lost game one to Golden State. The same thing happened here last night. People sitting there talking about, yeah, but the Lakers had another quarter. They had overtime. Bro, that blows you. That blows you.
I think LeBron was like, I don't think he mentally had it together to go through that overtime period, man. He was probably still thinking about that, you know.
That was robbery.
Yeah. I'm changing the battery pack on the camera.
No, you're good. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk, man. Seven Mitchell was in the building. Salute to the NBA community. Real quick, man, we got Rasheed White from Sports to the Wire in the building. Make sure if you guys enjoy daily NBA content that you follow me everywhere on social media, 24/7, 365. Chop it up with the kid. Also, become a new member of our YouTube Best of Seven Sports Talk membership. We got exclusive content and perks available for all our members. So become a member today. Salute again to the NBA community. Make sure you guys go check out Rasheed White at Sports to the Wire here on YouTube tonight, man. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Chopping it up live. Y'all know how we're doing it. Salute again to everybody this evening. Pretty good week in the NBA. I'm excited, man. LeBron James is just about 114 points away from the all-time scoring record from Kareem. So we'll be definitely tackling that topic later on this week. Real excited for that.
Yeah, now, I'm gonna do a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar breakdown because I'm listening to Justin Germany on NBA radio, and he was saying that Kareem was better and more productive at 41 years old, you know, about 39 years old, 38, 39, 40 years old than LeBron was. So I'm gonna be doing a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar breakdown and analysis of his game when he was 39 years old and compared it to LeBron James and Kareem.
Did you watch my man Pat Beverly with the camera last night?
Yeah, that was funny, man. That was funny. It was hysterical, man. It was just funny. It was hilarious, man. He got a tech for it, right?
Yeah, they gave him a tech. But that's what Patrick Beverly bring to your team. This is why you rather have him on your team than against you.
Yeah, I need him to start playing some defense, man, and be productive out there, man. Be productive.
How you going to sit up there and talk about Pat Beverly being productive and you don't mention Ben Simmons in the same sentence? Stop that, Rasheed. Ben Simmons
is dealing with a knee injury, man.
You keep talking about this lame, fake knee injury. I don't even believe that he's hurt. Didn't he just get thrown out the other night? Didn't he get himself ejected the other night? When have we ever seen Ben Simmons get ejected?
I don't know. When was the last time? I don't know. I gotta go look that up.
He's scared. I keep telling you, he don't have none of this. He doesn't want to play.
You don't get to his level, you know, in terms of being like a three-time All-Star and saying like, oh, he doesn't actually want to play, you know?
Yes, you do. Rasheed, so there's a lot of- you know it. Rasheed, stop it, bro. You know it. You know how? When moments happen bigger than these all-star appearances. Making it to the playoffs, getting bumped out the playoffs, being eliminated because you didn't take the layup, having your whole city go against you. That's bigger than these all-star appearances.
I think people are putting a lot of pressure on him because they want to see him be the next LeBron 2.0. You know, I think that's what he was compared to coming out of college. And I think there's a lot of pressure on him to be that. And listen, not everybody wants to be LeBron James. Not everybody wants to be Kobe. Not everybody wants to be MJ. Wow. How about he just wants to be the next Jason Kidd? You know, Jason Kidd was probably one of the best players in NBA history, man. He's up
Jason
there.
Kidd was never scared. Never skied.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I mean, he, Jason Kidd is my favorite player, you know, of all time. And that's who I patent my game after. You know, not Kobe, not MJ, you know, not LeBron, but like Jason Kidd, you know? What's so bad about him being the next Jason Kidd? What's so bad about that? Everybody wants him to be the next LeBron James.
That's disrespectful. He doesn't have the heart of Jason Kidd. He doesn't have the shooting ability of Jason Kidd. He doesn't have Jason the respect.
Jason Kidd wasn't a shooter early. Jason Kidd was a shooter in his
Jason like Kidd was a, Jason Kidd was a shooter. I mean, he wasn't a sniper.
No, but he was a shooter. When he was at the Knicks in Dallas, he worked on his 3-point shot when he was in his 30s, when he didn't have the speed and driving ability to get by
Simmons. He was better than Ben Simmons.
In his 30s, not early in his career. I watched him.
You know, he's always been a better shoot, 3-point shooter than Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Career-wise, yeah.
He's a better passer than Ben Simmons. He gets more respect than Ben Simmons. You can't compare Ben Simmons to Jason Kidd in no way.
No, plus,
Jason
Kidd
has hard with.
He's a pass. Like Ben Simmons is a pass for his point guard. That's
so
how
is Chris Paul. How, so that's compare how him to Chris wired. Paul to somebody that ain't won nothing. Compare him to CP3. Somebody ain't won nothing. Don't compare him to no champion. He ain't that. Let me ask you another question, Mr. Rasheed White. Let's be honest. Who's more dangerous, the Lakers right now or the Brooklyn Nets right now?
Man, that's a tough one right there, man.
I'm gonna make it easier. Given that everybody is healthy and ready to rock, your guys are back and ready, and the Lakers are back and ready. Who's the most dangerous team?
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets because of the bench. You got Seth Curry, T.J. Warren. The Watanabe kid, the Utah Watanabe kid. I mean, he can shoot threes in the corner threes. Cam Thomas, I mean, he's a scorer that he's deep in the roster, you know, that they can actually bring out. Edmund Sumner, you know, he was actually playing well in Indiana before he actually hurt his Achilles. So if all these guys start coming into form, yeah, I mean, Brooklyn definitely has a better bench, you know, than the Lakers right now. But you got AD, you know. Again, we'll see.
You got LeBron.
And again, you got to see with AD. Again, there's going to be psychological hurdles he has to clear, man, because he, again, these foot injuries, these lower extremity injuries, he's going to be constantly thinking about, I don't want to come down on somebody's foot. You know, listen, like I told Dreamers Pro in my video, these guys at the end of the day are human beings, man. They don't want to go through surgeries and knee injuries. And you know what I'm saying? They don't want to go through none of this nonsense. They don't want to get hurt, man. They don't want
I respect that. I don't think nobody's arguing or disputing that. But yeah, we don't question Anthony Davis' mental ability. It's his physical ability. We question Ben Simmons' mental. We don't question AD's mental. We know AD just say, I didn't. The majority of people, it's always been about his physical ability to stay consistent on the court.
Yeah, and that comes with actually diet, like
we don't see Anthony Davis in a whole bunch of interviews complaining or being concerned about turning a certain which way, shooting a certain which way because his knee and his ankle and all that. We don't do all that, so no. We only worried about him physically, mentally. We don't have no issues with that. You capping right now for Ben Simmons once again.
But well, I mean, like I said, when it was time for him to get that contract, it was a different AD. He got his money. Now he kind of like, all right, I'm chill. I got my money. You know what I'm saying?
You're right about that. That's why I want him gone. You're right about that, bro. You're right about that. So you got Brooklyn. You feel like Brooklyn is the most dangerous team. Okay, I'll respect that. Where do I want to go ahead next? Who do you got right now for your MVP? We halfway through the season. Who do you got for your MVP?
I'm gonna probably still go with Luka. I'm gonna go with Luka Doncic because if I take Luka Doncic off that team right now, what's their record right now?
I'm not sure what their record is, but Luka is on the kill ladder. He's number 5.
All right, so if you take Luka Doncic off of that team, they're a lottery team. Let's see.
I agree.
Number 7. So if I take Luka off of that team, then, yeah, they'll be a lottery team. They'll be like number 13, 14, or 15.
You know, they have Nikola number one. But if you take Nikola off of a healthy Denver team, I feel like Denver's still a playoff team.
Yeah, still a playoff team. So if I take Luka off of that team, now I'm not saying he's better than KD. He's not better than Jokic. He's not better than
Jordan. More value. We talking about value.
In terms of value, you know, most valuable, then I'm going to go with Luka Doncic. Because I take him off that team right now. So if they had Jalen Brunson, at least Jalen Brunson, you know, because he knows how to actually run an offense, get guys involved, you know, put guys in the right positions to actually thrive. But, you know, since it's just Spencer Dinwiddie,
Nikola Jokic is now number one.
He's a good basketball IQ player to me, Spencer Dinwiddie, sometimes. Bad Nikola, shot selection. Yeah.
Jokic is number one. Joel Embiid has moved up to number two. He took Kevin Durant's spot.
He shouldn't, because like they went 7-4 without him, you know. So
what about Kevin Giannis?
Because
he's number four.
So if you take Giannis off of there, I would put Joel Embiid back, you know, because you take Giannis off of that team. I don't know how Chris Middleton, I gotta see him carry an offense. Can he actually run it? You know, I gotta see. No, if you, again, you take Giannis off of that team, they would actually be a bottom feeder too, damn near, you know, because they don't really have guys like Giannis that can break a defense down quickly, get into the paint. Set. They don't have anybody else like that on that team.
So who's more valuable to their team, Luka or Giannis?
I would say Luka, because the Milwaukee Bucks got better parts than because Brook Lopez can still get you 30. You know what I'm saying? Hold he up. Still can get you.
Dallas is 28-26-25. They're only a game over 500.
Yeah, they're 7th seed. Yeah.
Milwaukee is in third place in the East. Mm-hmm. If they don't have Giannis, they definitely falling.
But Brook Lopez can still run your offense through Brook Lopez.
No
Brook Lopez,
way.
He can get you 25 a night. Bro, he can. I watched him. He was with the Nets. I watched him for his rookie year when he came to Brooklyn. I mean, well, he was in New Jersey back then, all the way into when he got traded from Brooklyn. Brook can get you 20. Go watch. Brook Lopez can get you 30.
Y'all had one good year with D'Angelo Russell where y'all made the playoffs. When was Brook Lopez putting up 20-something and y'all was being successful?
When he was with the New Jersey Nets. He got drafted with New Jersey. And he got traded. I forgot.
When was the Nets in New Jersey ever a threat?
No. That's what I'm saying. But he could score. You can throw the ball down to him in the post and he can actually score.
Yeah, but he can't
get
score.
25 points.
He can't give you what Giannis give you.
No. He nowhere can't, near but you that. Still can get points out of him, though. That's what I'm
so
saying.
So let me ask you a question. You still can get since he's so good, him. Since he's so good, Rashid, they in third place. If they don't have Giannis, because they got Brook Lopez, how far down do they fall from third place?
I would say eight or seven.
That's
eight.
A huge drop.
Yeah, because the weakness with Brook Lopez, and this is why they just have him as a floor spacer, because he doesn't pass out of the double teams really well. You know, I don't know what is with him. I don't know why he hasn't worked on that. You know, but he can get you 30. But once you start collapsing in on him and start digging, he just turns the ball over. He doesn't pass well out of double teams. I don't know why. You know, that's just – I've watched Brook Lopez for like 7 years with the Nets. I told you, I watched him just drop 50 points tonight.
He just had a 50-point, 13-rebound performance tonight against the Pelicans. Ooh. Giannis is the real deal, bro.
Herb Williams, they had all this talk about Herb Williams being this ultra superior defender over here, man.
Wow.
Yeah, Giannis is a problem, man. Giannis is a beast. See, I mean, listen, the NBA's in good
hands. Think it's in good hands?
A lot of players, man. A lot of good players around the league, man.
Let's talk real quick about NBA fines. The NBA fined Stephen Curry $25,000 for throwing his mouthpiece last night or the other night in the game against Memphis. They also just fined Joel Embiid $25,000 for the D-Generation X Triple H gesture. Do you think, I mean, those guys got money, so it ain't hurting them, but what's your thoughts on those amounts of money or fines for those types of actions?
Man,
NBA, you know, going too far?
They want these guys to be robots, man. These are human beings, man. They're gonna have emotions, and I think Jordan Poole, for some weird reason, didn't give Steph the ball when he was wide open. I think he took a bad shot. I gotta go look at the play again, you know. But Jordan Poole, I said it before, man. It's just something about him where you just want to punch him in his face, man. He's just too freaking arrogant, cocky. I don't know, man. You know, he can play. He could play. You know,
he can play.
But again, it's about playing team basketball. You got Steph Curry, one of the greatest shooters in NBA history, wide open. You got to get him the ball, man. You know, and when he wants it, when he's ready to actually shoot, not delay way like Steph Curry's ready to shoot, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to hold back. And then, that kind of throws his timing off, his rhythm off, you know. So you got to get him the ball when he wants it, you know, especially when he's wide open.
Now, this is Steph Curry's third time being ejected, and the other two times also involved him throwing his mouthpiece. Remember, he did it in 2016 mm-hmm. in the Cleveland series, fan, yeah. And then he hit the referee the following year. But Steph Curry, it seemed like all that type of stuff bounces off of him. Like, he's such a good guy. It seemed like it's not going
to
hurt
him. He's a competitor, man. He wants to win. He wants to win. You know, I get angry too if I lose, man. These are guys are competitors. And he probably doesn't stain, like...
What could stain Steph Curry's look right now? Is there anything Steph Curry could do wrong in a sense, like outside of something criminal?
Nah, man. He's a stand-up guy, man. You know, he wants to win. He sacrifices, you know. When Kevin Durant came over there, he said, hey, listen, it's your team. You know, he didn't make it all about him. He's a stand-up guy, man. You know, he gets it. Like, that's what I was telling you about Kyrie Irving, you know, where it's bigger than just him. You know, it's about the whole team. And that's why I got on Kyrie Irving. And the way Kyrie Irving was playing against the Knicks, I'm like, if we could just play like that, you know, I would be happy. You know, yes. Use your team. And Steph Curry uses his team, man, you know. So, yeah, man. I guess he's a stand-up guy, man. Really, really, really stand-up guy.
Yeah, Golden State, they doing their little struggles right now, but I think them, if they healthy, that's another team that a lot of people are not going to want to see in the best of seven game series in the playoffs. Golden State is one of those teams. I think the Lakers are one of those.
It's tough to guard him, man. Fundamentally, you know, you look at Steph. I mean, he moves, he cuts, he moves around. I mean, it's hard guarding him. They set a lot of screens. She says Steph would have to go full Pat Bev. Basically, man. Basically.
Or asked to be traded out of Golden State.
Yeah, basically. And again, he's loyal. That's another good thing. He's actually really
go play
loyal.
With LeBron. Go play with LeBron. They'll hate you real quick. That's all you got to do.
But again, listen, it's about winning at the end of the day, man. You know what I'm saying? It's true. Really about winning. You know, when you go on the courts, you try to pick the best team available to actually win. You ain't, you know, you're not trying to pick bums. You know, you're trying to pick the best team available to win. If that's LeBron James, and that's LeBron James.
Oh, it is. No question about it. I need y'all to start recognizing and realizing that, man. What's your thoughts on Damian Lillard? We about to get up out of here in a couple minutes. What's your thoughts on Damian Lillard? The Portland Trailblazers said that they are committed to building around Dame and keeping him in Portland. I don't see what they're building.
You got to get a good general manager there, man, that can get some plays there or develop some players there, man. It starts from the top, from the general manager or whoever their player development staff is. You know, you figure all these years in Portland that you had Dame, you can at least develop players if you can't get them.
You think they got enough time?
No, they don't. I'm talking about like all the years that he's actually been there. I'm saying that they should.
So what do they do now? Like, it's all about moving forward. So, like, I feel like there's nothing they can do. They need
Dame, to go Dame's gotta, he got to ax out of Portland. That's if he really wants to win. Because if you can't get you can't get players to come and join you, and if you have you can't develop players, you know, then you know you're gonna have to he's gonna have to ask out, you know.
Dame not gonna nobody do can that. Blame him. Dame not gonna do that.
And maybe like I said, maybe he just likes the city. His family's comfortable there. You know, I've been to Portland a couple of times. It's a nice city. You know,
Do you think Portland will pull a trigger before Dame? I think Portland will pull a trigger before Dame asks for it. I think they love him too much and respect him enough. They know they can't win nothing. They can't bring – it ain't even about Dame recruiting. Portland can't recruit nobody.
What's their record right now? Let me see.
They have no – there's no stars in the league that's going to want to come play with Dame.
Nobody. I don't know, man. They – you know, they're going to have to start overpaying for some players, go into the luxury tax. You know, you got to get somebody there, man. You know, I don't
there's
know.
No,
I
mean, make some you trades. You got to get Dame off your books. I think you got to get Dame off your books.
Yeah, you got to start with the general manager. I don't know who their GM is, though. I mean, their general manager, I don't know how long he's been there. I don't follow them like that. But, I mean, you know, you got to be able to make some moves. It's the same thing I was saying with Rob Pelinka. You know, there was a lot. Listen, all these teams you look at,
Philadelphia, we made a 76. Move. We made a move last week.
We'll see.
Watch
we'll
it.
See.
Watch
There's
it.
A reason. Watch There's it. A reason. But I'm talking about even way before you made that move. I'm talking about, you know, let's say the start of last season. A lot of free agents out there. A lot of shooters out there. You know, Rob Pelinka didn't get them. What happened to the Watanabe kid? You know. He's, I mean, the Lakers could actually use him right now. He's the best three-point corner shooter in the NBA. How did Brooklyn get him and you didn't get him? And Los Angeles is a better, you know, like in terms of the weather, you know, the vibe, it's a better city. How did Brooklyn get Watanabe and y'all didn't get him? You know, so you got to look at Rob Pelinka, man. They're not good general managers. You can't develop guys. You need to be able to develop guys too because there's like 29 teams. You can't get every single free agent out there, but you can develop guys too, you know, make them better.
Why are you worried about Rob Pelinka making guys better in LA?
No, you got a guy in Ben
Simmons. Worry about Ben Simmons developing. Worry about him developing a three-point shot. Can we get into that?
He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that right now, man.
It's amazing.
You see how quick he is? Seriously,
this is the one thing I don't understand, and you have to break this down to me because you are a Brooklyn Nets fan. I honestly don't understand how Ben Simmons, and I get that you're saying he doesn't need to shoot threes in his arsenal, which is ridiculous to me because he's not a center. But I don't understand for his whole career why it seems to his teams give him a pass even if he doesn't shoot him. Like he doesn't shoot
because, him. All right, is it the idea of basketball is to put as much pressure on the defense as possible. So let's say if you're playing a 1v1 against Shaquille O'Neal, you know what I'm saying? You met Shaq. Let's go play a 1-on-1. Would you rather Shaquille O'Neal take fadeaway jump shots on you? Or do you actually want him to take – all right. So, or do you want him taking you down low dunking on you? Which is
no, I want him to fade away. Fade away.
So Ben Simmons shooting jump shots takes – because you got the guards are like 6'3", 6'4". And he can overpower. I told you he overpowered Rudy. This year he overpowered.
I'm not going to let you do that. I'm not. You just took a 1-on-1 situation. I'm talking about wide open shots. What's your excuse for Ben Simmons being wide open?
The team around him is garbage. Let's say you had like guys that's shooting 31% from three, right?
Right.
Then, yes, Ben Simmons needs to actually shoot, you know, because they would just pack the paint on him and then force those 31% three-point shooters to actually beat them, you know. Then, okay, Ben Simmons got to start shooting threes to kind of – or jump shots to open things up for him, open up driving lanes. But, you know, if you have a Seth Curry, who's one of the best three-point shooters in NBA history, Joe Harris on there, Kyrie Irving, a KD who can actually spread the floor and make it where you can't load up on Ben – that he doesn't really need to shoot like that, you know? So that's what I'm saying. And he could post up smaller guards, you know? I'm a big guy. I'm not going to be shooting against smaller people. I'm going to take them down low, you know? I am.
But you making it seem like Ben Simmons is taking guys down low and making smart decisions and finishing.
Yeah, some of, I mean, his biggest,
some of his biggest nightmare plays have been down low under the basket. One of the reasons why we're having this conversation is because the nightmare started from a play under the basket.
Yeah, I just think he's over, like I said, you know, and Brian Scalabrine said this right. He said this right. You know, you got to constantly tell a pass like Rondo, guys like Jason Kidd, Rondo, guys that are pass first point guards. That just looks, because these guys don't, they want to take the highest percentage shots possible. They don't want to take bad shots. You know, I know I'm a pass first point guard, so I kind of understand how Ben Simmons actually really thinks. You know, I don't want to take bad shots. And if I see somebody wide open, I want to give them the ball. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's just overthinking the game. You know, a lot. Yeah, he's trying to fit into it. It's the new offense that they, you know, you're trying to fit in with Kyrie Irving. Remember, Kyrie Irving wants his money too. He's playing for a contract too. You know, so I guess it's important
and
for
Kyrie. He's balling like it. Kyrie is your savior. Yeah. If it wasn't for Kyrie, if you have
Ben Simmons, and remember, there's only one basketball. So if you have Ben Simmons scoring a lot of points, it's taken away from Kyrie getting his money, right? You want to
There's
see Kyrie
no Kevin
get paid,
Durant.
Right?
There's no Kevin Durant. There's no Kevin Durant. That's 30 points a night. That's not there. So I'm not worried about Kyrie missing out. Y'all need Ben Simmons. That's why y'all record is the way it is.
Now
y'all
we need to get these other role players like T.J. Warren going. We need these guys, man. I'm telling
when
you.
When has T.J. Warren ever been an instrumental role in Indiana?
Nah, he had 50. He had a couple of, he had a 53-point game. He had 5 30-point games. He could score.
You man, we're not talking about skill set. These guys don't them. There's no DNA. There's no championship DNA in Brooklyn other than what Kevin Durant, Kyrie.
But listen, during the Milwaukee Bucks when they had James Harden, Kyrie, and KD there during the Bucks series, you know. Mm-hmm. Who actually killed us, man? And who was the reason why we lost that series? Who? Why
Joe
was
Harris.
The reason why we lost?
Joe Harris.
You know, I'm talking about on the Bucks side, not on our side, on the Bucks side. Why did we lose that series?
Are we talking about the series that KD had his foot on the line?
Yeah. Why did we lose that series? Because a role player like Pat Connaughton was killing us the whole 7 games from freaking 3, man. I was pissed. This dude, this white boy was just hitting shots after shots after shots. I'm like, come on, man. I was like, come on. He's just like 7 games killing us from 3. A role player. You need role players. Steve Kerr hit a key 3-point shot during one of the Bulls champ. You need these role players, man. You need them, man.
Rasheed, what you got going on your channel this week, man? What, let the people know what you got going on. What
I don't know. We're gonna do. I'm gonna wait for Dreamers Pro reaction. Him and I got a little beef going on. He's gonna talk more trash about me and. We're going to see what's going on. What he actually says, I made a response video to him about Ben Simmons, just how to play basketball in general. We'll see. We're going to look at Kyrie Irving, man. You know, I want to see if he's going to play team basketball, man. If he's going to use his team, and that's the main thing I'm looking for this week is Kyrie Irving. Because I'm going to do a follow-up. And that. He did an excellent job with the Knicks, trusting his teammates. I want to see it continue.
You know, you and Dreamers Pro, y'all have been intense with y'all back and forth. Would you be willing to do a one-on-one debate with Dreamers Pro? If I was able to set that up, would you debate Dreamers Pro on some NBA topics?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the whole purpose of the show is to teach people the game of basketball and how it's truly supposed to be played, man. You know, so I think Dreamers Pro is speaking from as a fanboy, and doesn't have his analyst cap on. Like I said, I'm gonna give anybody that has a lower extremity injury a pass, man. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, was up and down, and you know, he had a couple of good games, but it's not the Kawhi Leonard dunking on people just yet. because he has to build that confidence. He has to clear those psychological hurdles. He has to trust that knee and make sure that, you know, it's actually good, you know, before he can start dunking on people, before we really, really see the Kawhi Leonard, you know. So, you know, again, at the end of the day, these guys are human beings, you know, and I think a lot of people like Dreamers Pro actually, you know, forget that, man. They do.
Well, you call Dreamers Pro a fanboy. When it comes to debating, when it comes to this thing that we love called basketball, what do you think that you have over Dreamers Pro when we talk about basketball analytics and breaking
down? I've been watching longer, you know. I've been listening to, like, different coaches like Hubie Brown. I had different coaches teach me the game. I played probably over 17,000 games. I played in men's leagues. I played in tournaments, man. Basketball was my life, man, you know. I mean, I would go to work, come like 7-8 games a day, six days a week, man, constantly hooping. I mean, all my boys would tell you, he's constantly on that basketball court working on my game, studying players like Jason Kidd, you know, emulating him, just really, really learning. Because I didn't have time to be losing games, man. And then you got 7 or 8 cats, you know, I got next. We had to win. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to win. I wanted to learn how to play, man. You know, so.
If Rasheed White, if you out here like Jason Kidd, I need to see some footage. We need some footage. If you out here giving it up like Jason Kidd, we need to see some damn footage.
Yeah, so I love
you
basically past,
feel
man.
Like you feel like your knowledge for the game is on another level than Dreamers Pro.
Oh, absolutely. Big time.
Your experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. From watching and playing, man. Watching and playing. Yeah.
Do you feel like Dreamers Pro got the up on you when it comes to X's and O's, or statistics, analytics? Because he come to you in that angle and possibly can, win a debate.
It's a lot of, you know, you can look at the numbers, you know, like you would say Draymond, like a lot of people think, yo, Draymond Green is a garbage. He doesn't bring no value. Yeah, he actually brings value, man, because one, he knows his role and he doesn't break that. He doesn't try to be something more than he's not. And it's really hard, like, for a lot of basketball players to really kind of understand that, man. Knowing your role and then not kind of, like, doing extra, you know. So let's say if you're Joe Harris. We've seen Joe Harris try to take it to the cup. You know, he gets blocked. You know, I'm like, that's not your game, man. You know what I'm saying? That's not your game. Just stick to the shooting, you know. So we've seen that with a lot of different players, man. So Draymond Green is – it's like Dennis Rodman. You would say, oh, Dennis Rodman, how much he averaged with the Bulls? Like 6 points? Nah, man. Yo, he only averages 6 points a game, man. So that's what Dreamers Pro would say. Oh, he's garbage because he only averages 6 points a game. But not understanding this, only one basketball, man. You know what I'm saying? So not everybody can go out there and score 30, you know? And you got to have guys take certain roles, you know? There was times I would go out there and play. It would be me, my boy, Dante, Roberto, and myself. And we would play 3-on-3s all around New York City. It was a pecking order. Dante, we're going to run the offense through you. Me second, Roberto, you shoot, you know. And sometimes I would score 6 points or 16 points, depending on how everything actually went. There's roles, though, you know. So and we would win almost all the games, every single game, because we already had that pecking
order.
Well,
maybe you should be coaching Ben then. Maybe you should be coaching Ben Simmons.
Nah, he has a. If you listen to him, he has a high basketball IQ. I said that on multiple occasions. He has a really, really high basketball IQ. When Ben Simmons is on the court, I mean, the ball doesn't stick, man. He knows that he moves the basketball, man. The ball moves faster than what a person can actually move, you know. So I like ball movement. Like I said, myself personally, I'm a system basketball player. I love system basketball, you know.
I love winning. That's what
I mean. That's
what, and you, yeah. You're not winning with Ben Simmons. You're not.
You were winning with Kevin Durant.
You were winning with Kevin Durant and Kyrie.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons, the ball moves. Like I said, there's a pecking order, Seven. You know,
this is
not
football.
This is not football.
The ball moving around spacing, that does not equivalent to points. You still got to put the ball in the basket, right?
No, I agree. But you want to keep the defense shifting too. You know, if you go north, that's south,
that's an advantage, yes, but that's not the end all be all. The point is to score more points than the opposition. That's the bottom line, no matter how you do it.
I agree, but they're not asking Ben Simmons. You can just see the sets that they're actually running. They're not asking Ben Simmons to go out there. Ben Simmons brings the ball up, and they'll set up. They're not asking him to actually go out there and score 20 a night.
So we're blaming this on Coach Jock Vaughn. That's what we're doing.
It was working. I mean, well, we won 18 out of 20 games. It was working.
Oh, my goodness.
It was working.
You know, the passes you give Ben Simmons, if he's hurt, he's hurt.
And plus, he had the back surgery. I'm going to do another video on that this week.
Feelings are hurt.
I'm gonna go over his back surgery that he had this week. Just check out that video, the L4 back injury. I'm gonna let doctors actually explain, not me, but doctors actually explain. It's gonna take him a whole year to fully recover from that surgery. There's gonna be ups and downs.
Wait a minute. Can the doctors explain to me why Ben Simmons had 2 0-point performances this season? Can the doctors explain that to me in this video?
Listen, I have no idea. But again, if he has, listen, what do you want the man to do? He had zero.
What I want him to do is play basketball.
If you don't have the heart to play, get off the court. He has the heart to play. He does.
Did you just say he had more good games than bad games?
Yeah, he had like about 15 good games. He played not like was since a 30 Kevin Durant so been far.
Out. Not since Kevin Durant been out.
But again, like I said, just watch the games. You will see Ben Simmons brings the ball up. Hold on. Ben Simmons brings the ball up. He gives the ball to Kyrie, and Kyrie doesn't give the ball back.
For what? Why would he? Are you kidding me?
You got to use your
team. Kyrie scored 21 points in the last 9 minutes last night to help y'all beat New York.
Yeah, but he lost like six out of eight games. Scoring all those points, man, they hasn't translated into wins.
And you're not attributing none of that to Ben Simmons,
man.
You're not attributing no six, really.
Yeah, man, I called it out, man. I'm the biggest Kyrie supporter, and like I said, he's not playing team basketball. He wasn't playing team basketball. Take the time out. Go watch Kyrie in all those games that they actually lost, and then go watch the Knicks game. And then see how he was actually trusting his teammates. He was giving giving them the basketball.
You know what? I'd rather do something else. I'd rather go back to all those Nets games that the Nets lost, and I'd rather go to the box score of Ben Simmons and seeing what he is doing while Kevin Durant is out. That's what counts to me the most. And it's nothing.
See, you're being like Dreamers Pro because I'm giving you the answers and you don't like the answers you hear.
You're not giving me any answers. I don't have any questions. You don't like the answers you hear, man.
I'm giving you the answers. Kyrie wasn't using his teammates, man. He doesn't get the ball
back. What teammates? When he has to score 20-something in the fourth quarter to win.
You got TJ Warren out there. You got Edmund Sumner. Bro. You got guys that you need to get. You need those guys, man. You know, like I said, you said you 7-7-7-7-7. You said you played basketball, right? Did you play basketball in AAU?
I've played basketball at Lake Clifton High School.
What happens?
I've played basketball for Woodlawn High School. I've played college basketball for BCCC, and I played for Morgan State University.
All right. So what happens when a guy doesn't pass? When he takes stupid shots? What does that do to you? When you're wide open?
What do you mean? What does it do
you're
for
wide open. The person? You know, you got a guy.
I'm asking you: are you talking about the person that's shooting the basketball? Are you talking
about the person that's shooting the basketball? You got guys that we would call them. I don't know. Back in the '90s, early 2000s, we say they go nut. You know, they don't want to. They just won't pass the ball. They'll like try to do hawk? It.
All, like a ball you know. Hog.
Yeah.
Going Kobe.
Ball hogs. Yeah.
Basically, going Kobe.
Yeah. What does that do to you as a defender? As a teammate. I'm sorry. When you got ball hogs on your team?
It depends. If your ball hog is Michael Jordan, what is it supposed to do for you?
When you're on the courts playing and you got a ball hog that don't want to pass. I've seen this, man. I played with guys like this.
I was teammates with Keon Carpenter. You know who Keon Carpenter is?
Nah.
Keon Carpenter was a cornerback for the Buffalo Bills. We played high school basketball together. He was a superstar, but he played shooting guard. I played point guard. He was definitely not a passing guy. When you got somebody like a Jordan.
Oh, no, sorry. You was a point guard. All right, you were a point guard. That's different. You controlled the basketball. I'm talking about, like, you know, like, you got a big man that's wide open. Like, he has a like a post advantage, and then you got a guy that won't pass him the ball. You know what I'm saying? There's stuff like that. Because I've seen it. Like, you got a big guy, right? Let's say he gets a switch, and now he has a little guy guarding him. He's calling for the ball, and then you don't give him the basketball. You try to go up and you just shoot. I'm talking about. I'm just giving you an example.
Simmons.
No, I'm just telling you, like, what happens when you got a ball hog on your team. What it actually does to you as a teammate. You just like,
who's the ball hog we're talking about?
Kyrie was being a ball hog. He wasn't using his team. I watched all the games.
God. Oh my god! If you watched the games, if you watched the game, you would know if it wasn't for Kyrie's fourth quarter performance, y'all would have had an L last night.
They lost. I'm not talking about the Knicks. I'm talking about the games they actually lost. When he was scoring all those points and he wasn't passing, he was going 1-on-3. Guys are wide open. I mean, go
the games without KD.
Yeah.
You're blaming those losses on Kyrie and not Ben Simmons?
He's not using his team. This guy is wide open.
What team?
Shooters,
Ben Simmons is your third.
Steph Curry. Simmons, what?
Who's your third best player on your team?
Ben Simmons is the third best player on the team. What I'm saying is that shooters like Steph Curry, Watanabe, T.J. Warren, wide open, and Kyrie Irving is actually going 1-on-3. And not passing the ball to wide open shooters. That's what I'm saying.
You. We're talking about Kyrie Irving, a proven champion. You complaining about him not dishing the ball off to a name? Wabe?
These are good 3-point shooters. He was missing a lot of shots too, man. He would take a lot of bad shots, and then teams would get on fast breaks and then score on the other end. I'm like, yo, pass the ball, man. Yo, 18. Listen, you got 24 seconds on the shot clock. You're not supposed to be, you bringing the ball up or you get the ball. You know, Ben Simmons gives you the ball with 18 seconds to go on the shot clock and you shooting the shot. No, man, you need to move the ball more. You know, try to get other guys involved or even penetrate and then pat. Once the defense collapses on you, then pass it out to the open shooters. You know,
the Brooklyn
he's going
Nets,
1-on-2, 1-on-3.
They're playing 4-on-5. Rasheed, what are you talking about? Offensively, the Nets only be having 4 people on the court when Ben Simmons is on the court.
They're not Kyrie is not looking to establish him at all. I'm telling you what I'm seeing.
Because he's too scared. Why? 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 We watched Kyrie give this man the ball earlier this year, right in the lane, and what happened? We talked about this the last time you was on this show.
Ben Simmons brings the ball up. He gives it to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving shoots with 18 seconds on the shot clock, and he misses. And now they got to go back and play defense.
So who would you rather have shooting the basketball at the end of the day, Kyrie or Ben Simmons?
No. I'm not saying that. But what you saw with the Knicks, the difference was he used his team in the first 3 quarters and got those guys going. And then in the fourth quarter, like MJ used to do, then went out there. Because now these guys who you actually got involved are in a rhythm now. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't gotten those guys in a rhythm.
I'm not going to let you get away with that. You're talking about some Kyrie used his damn team last night.
Yeah,
they were getting blown out. They were getting blown out.
They were winning the whole game. The Knicks.
Kyrie had to score 20-something points in the last 9 minutes. How was he using his team in the first 3 quarters?
The Knicks, they were moving the basketball. The ball was moving, the ball was popping. There was a team high 36 assists. When the Nets went on an 18-20 game winning streak, it was the same exact thing. Ball moves from side to side, east, west, north, south, and the team assists was actually high. During the losing streak, it was like a six-game losing streak that the Brooklyn Nets had. It was a team low in assists. The ball was not moving. You know what I'm saying? The ball got to move, man. The ball moves faster than what a person can actually move, Seven. You notice, especially if you said you was a point guard. Come on, man.
Had damn near two times
I'm not going to let you sound like you was pro over here, man. I'm not going to let you sound like him.
What do you mean that the Nets, the ball wasn't moving, and they had twice as many assists in the Knicks?
Yeah, in the Knicks game, not during the losing streak. Not during the losing streak. The ball was not moving. You know, it was Kyrie Irving being Superman.
What sample size of games are you looking at right now to come up with these stats that you're automatically coming with? We're not talking about the game that we just watched.
18, when they won the 18 out of 20 games with Kevin Durant, the ball was moving. It was at 30 assists a night.
No. Hold on, Rasheed. The games that you are talking about with Rasheed, with Kevin Durant being out, what games are you looking at right now on your computer or on your phone? Because I'm looking at the game from last night.
Yeah, I know exactly. And they had a team high 36 assists as a team.
So what game were you looking at when you're saying the ball is not moving?
When they lost the six games, when they lost to San Antonio, when they lost to OKC, it was Kyrie playing hero ball instead of actually using his team. That's what I'm talking about right there.
So what do you have to say for these 2 0-point performances for Ben Simmons before we get up out of here with this one?
Nothing. He has a knee injury. He has a knee injury. Nothing.
Wow.
I want to see what he's
talking
about.
To the bosses, man. Yeah, man. You got to talk to the bosses. You said nothing. 2 0-point before. That was before this knee injury.
Come on, man. It was like you act like he had. Listen. If they're coming back from injury, he hasn't played in a year and a half. Just the same thing like TJ Warren, Kawhi Leonard, all these guys have missed over a year of playing basketball. They're not going to just come in and have stellar performances like that.
I'm going to be honest.
There will be ups and downs.
I agree with that, but I'm going to be honest. You talk about ups and downs. Ups and downs is what Chris Bosh went through in Miami. Those are ups and downs. I have, since we've even had the conversation about super teams and that's been a thing. I have never seen one of a big three of none of these 32 teams in the NBA score 0 points multiple times in a season.
Twice.
Who?
A lot of times he's in foul trouble. He picks up a lot of silly fouls.
No, I'm saying that's what out of all these big three teams that we've had over the years.
Yeah, but
name
seven,
me one player.
One. It's one basketball.
So what? You're thinking 0 points?
You're thinking one-dimensional. You got to think three-dimensional. It's important to get the role. Ben Simmons can get his anytime he wants. He showed you in the Philadelphia game. He can score at will. He can get you 10 points at any time he wants to. It's important to get the role players going. I told you.
Let me look.
You got to get the role players going. Right. You so have to. It's important.
Let me look at his assists, since you got to get the role players going. Let me see what he's
doing
for the team.
Yeah, he had 13 assists, 10 assists. Yeah. I want the ball in his hands more.
I want to see what that plus minus is looking like. I want to see what this team is doing when this guy's on the floor. Because what you're saying to me right now is ridiculous. We all know. We all watch this game. We know that this guy has done nothing offensively to help this ball club since Kevin Durant been out. Nobody's asking Ben Simmons to drop 30 a night. Nobody's asking him to drop a high triple-double.
Important, like I said, it's important to get these role players actually going, man.
It's Joe more Harris, important to have your big guys established. Don't talk about role players when your main guys is not getting it lit.
We need Joe Harris's confidence back. You saw what happened to him.
Ben Simmons' confidence more.
No. I want Joe Harris' confidence, man. Floor spacing is going to be very, very important in terms of the Brooklyn Nets success.
Rasheed White, as a Brooklyn Nets fan, you're more concerned about Joe Harris' confidence
when
than
they
Ben
assembled
confidence?
When they assembled the big three. When you had James Harden comes on that team. General managers were worried about Joe Harris more than Kyrie, KD, and James Harden.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's important to actually get Joe Harris going. You know, get his confidence going, because you saw what happened to him in the Milwaukee Bucks series.
Bro,
if he was just hit three threes, just three threes, we win that
with
series.
With all due respect, you're talking about bringing in a former MVP. So, of course, Joe Harris is going to be rattled because James Harden is better than him. It don't get no better than Harden, KD, and Kyrie.
Harris is a role player. He's not looking at score points.
What I'm saying is this. You tried to compare Ben Simmons and James Harden in the way Joe Harris is.
I said that it's important to get guys like Joe Harris and build their confidence up.
And I said it's more important to get guys like Ben Simmons
20 minutes ago. You said it yourself 20 minutes ago that Joe Harris was abysmal in that Bucks series, right? Now, isn't that a confidence issue?
Ben Simmons is one of your top three players, and your top player is out for 6 weeks. What are you talking about Joe Harris for when you got one of your top three guys putting up multiple 0-point performances?
Ben Simmons can score anytime he wants to score. You saw it in the Philadelphia series. You said it yourself.
I've never said Ben Simmons can score. Ben Simmons can score. He's not a three-point shooter. He's not a three-point shooter.
No, he's not. He's shooting down low.
He's not shooting nowhere.
He can make a lot of shots down low.
Are you looking at his attempts? He's not shooting.
I want him to get those role players going. I want him, because I'm thinking three-dimensionally here. I'm thinking chess. I'm not thinking checkers. I'm looking at, I don't care about his points right now. You know what I'm saying? I want him to get these role players going. I don't care about him scoring. I don't care.
So the key to success to you right now is to take the ball out of Kyrie's hand, put it more in Ben Simmons' hand, so Ben Simmons can control Joe Harris and Nick Claxton and the rest of those
guys. Kyrie. I want more Kyrie off the
ball. I'm asking you. Yes, is that your recipe for success?
Yes. Yes, it's important to get these role players going, especially Joe Harris, man. He was the best three-point. It's not even just attacking the paint. He can actually, this is Anthony over here, it's even posting up. You know, I showed the Utah game. He was doing a lot of posting up where he can actually get three-point shooters open. But really, I said this at the beginning, before even the season even started with Ben Simmons. Get these role players going. Get Joe Harris confidence going. You know what I'm saying? Build his confidence up, you know, because that's more important. Ben Simmons can score in the paint. You know what I'm saying? That's easy for him, especially if you have guys like 6'3", 6'4", guarding him. That's easy for him. That's nothing. Joe Harris and TJ Warren, who hasn't played it, I need these guys going, man. I need to get their confidence going. That's more important to me than Ben Simmons. You got to think three-dimensionally, you know? You do. You can't think about it one-dimensionally. Ben Simmons
scoring
like 50
points. I got to think about it no way. I got to think about it the way I want. I got to think about it. Wins and losses. That's all I care about.
You blame your boy Kyrie, because like I said, he was playing too much hero basketball, contract basketball, not moving to basketball, taking bad shots, doing stupid pull-up threes with 18 seconds on a shot clock. You know, defensively, he's actually been playing well, but just the shot selection, it's a big, big deal on that six against OKC and Oklahoma games that they actually should have won. You know, the team assist was actually really, really low. You know, now against the Knicks, they had team high 36 assists. Kyrie was making the extra pass, trusting his teammates more, you know, setting up his teammates, you know, being a floor distributor. You know, he needs to actually use his team to actually win. And it can't just be one person. And plus, I don't want to see him get hurt, you know, with those acrobatic layups. Man, save that shit for the second round of the playoffs, man. You know, I don't want him going this hard, you know, and because he's going to get hurt. I've seen it before. I've been watching Kyrie for years.
Most points in the fourth quarter this NBA season is Kyrie Irving with 356.
Yeah,
most point per games in the fourth quarter.
But they
this
haven't
season
been translated.
All
right, they
Irvin
haven't been translated into wins.
9.4 points per
out.
Game. I did not interrupt you. I let you rock.
All right,
Kyrie Irving has missed the fourth quarter. This is the guy you want to take the basketball out of his hands to give a guy who's scared to shoot the basketball. A guy who got ran out of Philly. Oh, my God.
I said that in the first three quarters, I want
Kyrie
to use his team.
No, 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 no. Rasheed, let me read this off to you. Last five games from Kyrie, 45, 6, and 6 three-pointers. 32-10 with 2 three-pointers. 38-7-9. 48-11-6. 37-7.
I watched all those games. I watched every single last one of those games. I saw it.
How was those games? How was Kyrie not getting the team involved?
It's not.
He's averaging 7 assists in the last 5 games.
You're not watching the games. I'm watching the games.
I'm looking at the numbers.
He's taking bad shots. He's not using his team. He's shooting with 18 seconds to go on the shot clock when you should be kind of moving the ball and getting better shots and then using screens. And, you know, I mean, like I said, just go watch the game, Seven. If you don't believe me, just watch all those games where they lost and then go watch the Knicks game.
What I don't understand about you, Rasheed White, is you think I don't have NBA League Pass. I don't understand what makes you think you watch the games. I don't watch the games. I don't understand that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
From start to finish. I'm talking about the six-game losing streak that the Nets had. Did you watch all those games that I watched?
I have to pay for this.
I pay for it,
I don't have League Pass for free. So I'm tapped into everything.
I don't want to hear tap in. Hold on. I don't want to hear that. I said watch the game from start to finish.
I apologize if my vocabulary and my slang is different. Yes, tapped in and watched is the same thing. Yes, I watch the games. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
Start to finish, because you're a Laker fan, man. You know what I'm saying?
What person literally? If we're going to be technical, what person literally is sitting down from start, from the first quarter to the fourth quarter of regular season games, back to back to back?
Watching all the Nets games.
Unless. Because if you got League Pass, you're not doing that.
No, that's too many other games. That's why I only do Nets games. When I do a lot of my videos now, I'm doing mainly the Nets because that's all I have time to really watch.
Well, see, I'm different.
That's what I'm saying.
I talked to somebody earlier, Dave. I wanted to just lock in and do Lakers content.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Because that's all you can't watch. Even if you're getting paid to do this for a living, $5 million a year, like Stephen A. Smith, he can't watch all the games from start to finish. You look at LaMelo Ball, you know, and during like let's say you watch LaMelo Ball drops 30 or you watch a highlight compilation of him.
What is your point of watching the game start to finish? What is your point?
Say that again, having
to watch the game from start to finish. You should see things.
You should see things like I'm seeing. How Kyrie's actually taking a lot. You see the misses. Like you watch it like on a highlight, like the let's say if you watch the after they show the highlights after the game, they show the makes, but they don't show the bad shots that Kyrie's actually taking. You'll see the 40 points. You know, you'll see the 40 points. Like, yo, man, Kyrie scored 40. You know, but then you see a lot of those 40 points was like really, really bad shots, man. Really bad, horrible. He made a lot of those shots. Don't get me wrong, you know. But
y'all went 11-3 when Kyrie came back. Y'all went 11-3 when Kyrie came back. No other team at that time even had 10 wins. Y'all took money away from this guy. Y'all suspended this guy. Y'all ridiculed this guy for all types of crap this season. And this guy really he's really been your most valuable. Let's be honest. We talk about availability, about being hurt and all that stuff. He's been the guy, been there for you. He got named the starting all-star. You have no respect for Kyrie Irving.
What? Come on, Seven.
You didn't even mention that. You didn't even give him his props for starting all-star.
Now because you've seen all my videos. You've seen all my videos. I defend Kyrie all the time.
Your videos have just been titled, "Is the Brooklyn Nets Kyrie Irving playing for a contract championship? And is Kyrie Irving holding Ben Simmons back?" That's what you titled your video.
You forgot about the vax nonsense. You know how much of a hate I got on that?
You need to be vaccinated with these titles. You need to be vaccinated. I think you got COVID. Remember that? So disrespectful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That was a show in itself right there. You know how many attacks I got defending Kyrie over the vax? over the vax mandates and all that nonsense, man. But I supported him on that. You know, you know how much attacks I caught over that? Oh, man, I got hammered, man. You have no idea the beatings I took, you know, metaphorically defending Kyrie Irving, man. So don't say I'm a Kyrie hater, man. I'm one of the biggest supporters of Kyrie Irving, you know?
That's my guy, Rashid White, man. Sports to the Wire. You make sure y'all check him out. Subscribe to his YouTube channel, man. That is definitely my guy. Another classic show. Appreciate you, Rashid, coming through as always, man. Right. Hit the best of seven, man. Definitely another classic show. Love the back and forth. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to let the people know before we sign off?
No, that's it, man. This was a hell of a debate, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad you didn't, you know, like, some people would take this personal, man. Like, most people I know would take this personal on me.
Man, this is,
you know what I'm saying? This is really what we do, man. It's a highly intelligent dude over here, Seven Mitchell, man. This is what we do.
Likewise, man. This is why I got so much respect for Rashid, man. He's staying on his ground. He's staying on his principle, and he be schooling. So, salute to Rashid White. Salute to the NBA community, man. Once again, like I said, make sure if you guys enjoy daily NBA content, that you subscribe and follow me everywhere on social media. Y'all stay safe. And another quick reminder, we only got 2 days to go before the end of the month, but we still do have a monthly live stream goal of, I think we're down to about $25 now left to go in the month. So thank all the supporters and the contributors for the month of January to the network. Definitely want to say salute to you guys. I will catch you all tomorrow here at the Best of Seven. Again, make sure y'all subscribe to Rashid White, Sports to the Wire on YouTube. Salute to my guy Burke as well. Y'all stay safe. We signing off tonight. Peace, guys.
All right. Peace.
Oh, man. All right, man. I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.